today.
To America Tonight, everyone. Kate Delaney's my name, coast to coast, and all those flyover states, but the nooks and crannies outside our border. I know a lot of you are listening to us in Australia, the UK, China. I heard even Venezuela. In Spain, a big shout out to all of you, Ike and the boys, who started listening in one of the office buildings in downtown Madrid. Can you imagine when that's being piped out right there at their desk and they hear the English, what are you listening to? And it's not in Spanish. I don't know, it could be an interesting conversation. Speaking of interesting conversations, most of it still centers around Bin Laden. Do you still have to pinch yourself and say, wow, Bin Laden is gone, dead, shot in the eyeball, part of his head off and into the sea? Or do you think it was a big blunder to off Bin Laden and not to figure out a way to capture him and bring him to trial? I'm kind of surprised at the amount of people, to be honest, who are saying it wasn't the right thing to do, that somehow the Navy SEALs should have been able to capture him. I couldn't believe it. Over the weekend, I kind of listened all over the dial to hear what some of the weekend people were saying about Bin Laden, and there was way too many of those opinions, I think. Try to figure out a way to capture him? What, are you kidding me? Shrouded in secrecy, lucky to not be killed, getting into the compound, knowing, oh, AK-47, how close is it? Near his fingertips, underneath his feet, along across the wall? I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not what you do when you're a Navy SEAL. It's like this. You execute in a half an hour. They were already late. It was 40 minutes. There was heavy concern for the SEALs. Plus, what if it had blown up in their faces? What if the Pakistanis had arrived and enveloped them? Then what would have happened? That would have been interesting. What would have happened if they had jumped into the compound? Of course they backed off. They knew Osama bin Laden was there, and you can't tell me they weren't aware of what was happening inside the compound. At least at the tail end, you know that they did. I really believe that. Now it's all about trying to cover their tracks. CYA, baby, from the prime minister to the president there. And then the UN wanting answers. The UN wanting to know why he wasn't taken, what was acceptable, when was it decided, all that kind of stuff. But you knew there was going to be some heavy questioning. I'm just surprised at the amount of Americans who are thinking that this was a mistake. Now, here's the telltale sign. I watched all kinds of things, from mainstream media to what I would consider underground type of media, to get a whole range of perspectives on Bin Laden, not just my own, not just the callers to this show, just to see what people were saying. And listening to the children who lost their fathers, mostly fathers, on 9/11, young, maybe they were 16, 17, maybe they were a couple of months old. Do you know that they had so much hatred for Bin Laden, or just seeing his face, that they all talked about how elated, how attaboy it was to get Bin Laden, because that's the guy who killed their father. That puts it all back into perspective for me. Let's not forget about the victims. I think too often, I don't know why this is. Why do we forget about the victims? Almost 3,000 is just way too many. Shattering the cocoon that we were all in. People just going to work. Not people who were on a battlefield. Not people that were part of the military. Not people that in any way were in some kind of battle. Terrorism versus the U.S. versus the world. These were people that were going to work. Some of them trying to pay off massive debts. So they were working in the stock industry, like for Cantor Fitzgerald, to claw their way out of debt because they had a pregnant wife at home. But really, I heard so many stories like this. Their ultimate goal was to pay off the debt and become a history teacher, or to pay off the debt and do something else that they wanted to do. But regardless of what they were doing, this is something that shouldn't have happened. These kids didn't need to be without their fathers. And all of them couldn't have been more elated that Bin Laden was killed. Somehow, this gets lost. Somehow it gets lost. When the discussion turns to, was it really acceptable to bury Bin Laden at sea when the Saudis didn't want his body? You think they wanted to deal with that? And the answer is, they didn't. They didn't want to deal with it. So what are the Prime Minister of Pakistan have to say, Jilani, about Bin Laden and about the fact that they were on top of this, that they weren't going to give up. They were going to find out why nobody knew he was there. Take a listen.
An investigation in the matter has been ordered, which shall be conducted by Adjutant General of Pakistan Army, Lieutenant General Javed Iqbal. Pakistan will not relent in this national cause and is determined not to allow its soil to be used by anyone for terrorism.
All right, if you say so. What's interesting is I think one of the biggest cuts of all was the former president of Pakistan, Musharraf, and George Bush back in 2001 when they met and talked about a deal. They had a secret deal for going for about a decade. What the deal was is if the Americans could get Bin Laden on Pakistani soil, similar to what we saw in that raid, have at it. A paper in the UK broke this story. I think this is so telling. So here you have the military leader, General Musharraf, and President George Bush, after Bin Laden escaped U.S. forces in Tora Bora, coming to the conclusion that if you can get him, come on in. You're welcome to come on in. If you know where he is, come and get him. We have no problem with it. No problem with it. But yet, Musharraf takes a bunch of swings the second Bin Laden is said to be killed and buried at sea, criticizing the way it was done, criticizing the fact that the Pakistanis didn't know. Come on. So it really puts a new spin on what's happened in the wake of Bin Laden's death in Abbottabad, where those SEALs went in to his safe house and got him. Pakistani officials still say they know nothing. You heard that there. They know nothing. And they keep saying that over and over again. You have the Prime Minister, Jilani, who just heard, saying that also Pakistan reserves the right to retaliate with full force. Really? Bring it. Are you kidding me? Retaliate? If you're going to retaliate against us, you got to be kidding. I hope they mean, oh, yeah, if you go in again. 800-259-5791. Richard Clark, what did he have to say about the tapes and some of the other things? Remember, he was part of that national security team back in the Bush days. That's coming up next.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard standard mason jars are indefinitely reusable and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Coming up on America Tonight, We Can Count. Boy, we got a couple of interesting things, and We Can Count, because believe it or not, there are other things that are buzzing around the planet Earth besides Bin Laden, like this first facial implant. Incredible. I saw some of the shots of that, but we'll get to that coming up around the bend. Before we do, quickly, we're going to go to Dan in Texas in a second, but I wanted you to hear Richard Clark, because he's very vocal, he's written a couple of books, he's talked about security and 9/11 and what we knew and what was known and could have happened before 9/11 happened. If you remember, he's been very critical of that. Been on a lot of shows saying that, hey, this could have been prevented. There was memos that were ignored, that kind of stuff. I don't know if he used the word prevented, but something could have happened before 9/11 happened. So he talks about these tapes that are coming out of Bin Laden. And here's what he had to say about the tapes.
This is part of a U.S. government effort to discredit him after his death so that he no longer is a leader in the eyes of the Arab world and that he doesn't become a martyr in the eyes of Arab youth. The most important thing is not the videotapes. It's not the handwritten notes. The most immediate thing is detailed plans about specific targets.
Yeah, I agree. The most important thing is the detailed plans and making sure, well, even the houses they might stumble upon, anything that they got from those thumb drives that could prevent something from happening is absolutely a good thing. Somebody said to me today, and I didn't even think about this, what about the $50 million reward? Well, here's the deal. Are we not drowning in debt? What do we say? The deficit? How many trillion? So somebody thinks we're going to just come up, scrape that money out there and just figure out, geez, who should we give it to? Somebody said, well, if it's there, if it was already earmarked for it, couldn't we give it to the SEALs? The SEALs wouldn't take it. The SEALs wouldn't take it. If you know anything about the military, you know that they would not take it anyway. But that's not even an issue. It's just part of the treasury. It's part of the mad money. The money that we keep printing where we don't know where it really leads to. Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Kate. I have got a couple, three things real quick. First of all, I got a great deal of compliments on my poem that was in our paper here that I did for you.
I love that poem.
Thank you. And second of all, I'd like to give kudos to our friend Mark in New York. He was absolutely right about the coming takeover of the transit system there. They're already starting to do their little implementing, and they'll have a TSA in the same little dogma of theirs to screw us over one more time. And third, I am shocked, that PETA hasn't reared its ugly little head screaming about the pollution of the sharks from Osama being put in the water. That was a wish list. I mean, a Freudian slip, pardon me.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't complained. You're right.
Yeah, and I talked to my very good, rich friend Matt tonight, and he's still saying that he's not rich, but I still plan on getting close to him where I can get him to buy me a 57 Ford Thunderbird.
Oh, I love those. They're beautiful.
Me too.
What color?
I love
color?
The window one. You know, I want the baby blue with the
white. I was just going to say that. There's somebody in my neighborhood, Dan, that drives around with a baby blue one. Who knows?
God, to die for, girls to die for.
Beautiful. I know. I agree with you. I agree with you. We could do a whole show on cars. Trust me.
Oh,
Will.
I'm a car. I'm a car freak. And listen, you have a really good night, and thank you for the words on the poem.
It was
your
great.
Appreciation of it. You're a very good person, and I like all of you guys. And to my family out there as well, of the people that join in on our little conversations, I really enjoy all of them as well.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Oh, he's all about the love. He's all about the love on this show tonight, anyway, in this version of it. You know, it's interesting he brings up cars. I think everybody, women included, because cars and music to me really fall into the male category heavy, which doesn't mean that women aren't interested in cars, don't know how to fix cars, don't know cars, whatever. But the one thing is, I think most women and men have a fantasy car. They have a fantasy car that they would just, if they could drive it. And either it's a throwback classic or it's something new. And, you know, a Thunderbird is a sweet ride. It is. And I was really serious about that. There's somebody that's driving around, in my neighborhood, that's got one. I've seen them a few times, and it is good looking. It is in mint condition. They have taken great care of it. I imagine that it's parked in the garage most of the time. But probably we'll have to have our pal Bob Long back on to talk cars and fantasy cars again. It's funny what you learn when you're married about your spouse, but I'm the one who gets the mail. I can't tell you how many car magazines we get. Have any of you heard of Honda Tuning? Honda Tuning, what is that? And then there was a magazine I got today, both of these came in the mail today, called Modified. Readers Rides. 30-plus featured cars submitted by you. And I don't think they really talk about your fantasy cars, but they have different cars and wheels and what you put on them and all that sort of stuff. It's interesting the cars that people will soup up to, and I know I'm going off on a sidebar topic here, but since I'm the judge, I reserve the right to do that. I've got an old Acura, but it's like 2000. It's in pretty decent shape, and it's got the sunroof. And this car, I'm telling you, at least once a week people offer me money for it because they don't make them that way anymore, sporty, low to the ground. And I think kids take it and they mess with it and they race it. And some of the people who have offered money are kids, but I've had other people stop and ask about the car, too. There's something about that type of Acura that attracts attention and offers. But they'd have to offer a lot of money to make it worthwhile. So we will do a future show on cars. We'll do that. We'll do a segment. We'll have Bob Long on with us, and we'll talk about whether you're classic, you're old school, or it's something new in the future that you're looking at. One thing that we're going to be talking about, like I said, is We Can Count. It's about time we did one of those segments. An interesting We Can Count that I'll hit outside of the box before we go to it, so I won't wrap it into it. But how about North Dakota, talking about oil tax revenue breaking the $100 million mark? The industry there is on fire. I mean, on fire. You know, you got these other states who are struggling. But I guess in the last couple of years, while nobody was talking about it or looking, they've become a big powerhouse in the oil-producing industry. And they might actually overtake California, they say, in total production. So the tax collection, that's huge for North Dakota. And you think of the population there. On oil production, over $101 million. That's a 24%. What kind of return on that? 24% increase they got from a prior month, 66% from last summer. And you think of crude and where it's at and concern over what's going on in the Middle East, but the production is on an incredible accelerating pace there, month by month by month. They say that they had 350,000 barrels a day produced in March, was actually 2,000 a day lower than in February, but it was because of the weather. Still, that is amazing. And all the money that they get, of course, where do you think they pump it back into? It's being pumped back into schools and the counties that are struggling, you know, whatever they need it for. So North Dakota is one of those places where that state is helping themselves. They're tapping into that shale deposit that's there that people have talked about before. And that's where it's coming from. And that's been the big difference. They have 5,300 wells across the state. And they think many more thousands coming. Wow. 5,300 wells. That's a whole lot of money. I bet there's a lot. California would die. California is going to be overtaken by that. They want money any way they can get it. Trust me.
Concerned about nuclear contamination? You're not alone. If you understand the risk of today's food being contaminated from nuclear fallout, you would not only trust Wild Food for survival, you'd count on it. Wild Food is the most prolific, fastest-growing food available. It's fresh because it doesn't sit in the field for 8 to 10 weeks being fertilized or sprayed with pesticides, accumulating radiation. And Wild Food is not genetically altered. Ounce for ounce, Wild Food has more nutrition and less harmful elements than any animal or commercial agriculturally grown food. It can detoxify the body. And the best part? Wild Food is free for the taking. Let author Linda Runyon show you how to identify, harvest, prepare, eat, and store wild food. Go to ofthefield.com or call 888-5183. That's 888-513-2837. Or visit ofthefield.com for your survival.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
He looks 5 years younger.
He doesn't fall asleep at his desk like he used to.
He no longer drinks those energy drinks all day.
He used to be gloomy. Now he's upbeat.
He obviously has lost weight.
He's now drinking Moringa in the Morning from BigJoe.us. Moringa is a delicious, all-organic, 100% bioavailable blend from the miracle Moringa tree, considered by many to be the most nutrient-rich plant ever discovered. Moringa in the morning will suppress cravings for junk food and energy drinks and make you feel like a kid again. Drink Moringa in the morning, available from BigJoe.us. That's BigJoe.us. Vibrant health is just a click or call away at BigJoe.us or 800-503-0515. 800-503-0515. That's 800-503-0515. Drink Moringa in the morning.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We can count on kind of a lighter note. Since we do our cheap movie reviews, I thought Thor was going to be pretty big, and it was. At the box office, $66 million in its debut. Boy, the Marvel-based movies have done pretty well, but it still opened the best. It was better than The Incredible Hulk, anyway. X-Men is going to top anything that a Thor does, or Iron Man. Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 were just huge. But $66 million, will it make its money back? And the answer is I think they're going to make it back. It's $150 million to make it. They're already at $66. It was in its first weekend. I'd say it's a pretty good shot they're going to do that. Another movie that scored high, and it's one that I thought was also going to do well, was Fast Five. You know, it's that Fast and the Furious, that franchise. So this is the fifth one, and all of them have done pretty good. It opened $86 million, and then the next weekend it was down to $32 million, but who cares? That's huge money for that. For a fifth picture of the franchise, when is enough enough? When is it too much? It's like Rocky 7. They should have stopped at, I think, probably 3 max. That's what I think 3 was already probably too much. And I love the first Rocky. I've probably watched that 15 times. Probably more, actually. All right, we have to talk about this face transplant we can count. Just absolutely mind-blowing. It is. It's mind-blowing. I mean, the guy did not have a face. Not eyes, not recognizable, nose, nothing. And this Dallas Wayne's guy now can actually have his daughter kiss his face. That's what he said he really wanted. She's 4 years old. So doctors say that he underwent the first full face transplant in the U.S., and it was 2 months ago that this happened. And you look at the difference of this guy. This is radio. I'm telling you, just picture you've got nothing. You just sort of have dents for eyes, no nose, a little bit of a mouth, not very recognizable, and complete makeover. Nose looks like anybody else's nose. It's amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. Incredible. Kudos to the doctor that did that. It's reconstructive surgery. It's Dr. Janice. He's at Parkland Hospital in Dallas. It just happens to be in Dallas. And what happened was he was 26 back in 2008. How sad is this? And it was a strange injury. His head, he was doing painting his church. He was volunteering at painting his church. And his head got too close to a high voltage power line, and he almost lost his entire face from the burns. So for 90 days, they kept this guy in a coma. Then they did the surgeries. He breathed through a ventilator, and nobody thought he was ever going to even make it. And you see what they've done with him, and it is, I'm telling you, it is mind-blowing. And all these surgeries, but incredible results. Bravo to those doctors. That's a great we can count. So a couple of good ones. All right, let's move on to others, because it's all about the numbers. That's what we can count is about anyway. So much of what we talk about turns into the numbers of this or the numbers of that, or can you believe how much money? You know, it's like I'm famous for saying on this show, it doesn't take a genius to realize it, but follow the money. Follow the money, and you can almost predict the answers to some of the things that we're all griping about. All right, here's an interesting one. China. We talk about China and trade. China's trade surplus, they say, has surged to $11.4 billion. And, you know, China, they have the yuan, which is the equivalent of our dollar. And the surplus in April is much bigger than they expected or was predicted. It's its first quarterly trade deficit. They recorded their first trade deficit in 7 years in January to March, but then they came up with a surplus in April. So that's going to increase pressure on Beijing to allow faster appreciation of the currency because, you know, they hang on to it for dear life. There's been lots of problems with this, as you know, with how they're manipulating the money. And, boy, the United States kind of cowers to this because who holds our debt? Who holds the debt? If somebody holds that much debt, can you really go after them really hard? Even if you say you are, the answer is, nah, you really can't. You really can't do it. And that's the problem. That's the problem with China. That's the problem with our relationship with China. It's almost like I want to say, what's next? And, you know, the U.S. is still the world's largest economy, even with the recession and the recovery that's been up and down and all that other stuff. But China's coming on fast. I mean, they are in our rearview mirror. They are on top of the car. They passed Japan as the second largest economy. And probably in the next 10 years, it's going to eclipse us as well. And some people think we're fooling ourselves if we don't think it's already happened. In fact, a Pew Research Center poll last year found that 44% of us already thought China had become number one as far as the economy. Only 27% actually knew that our economy was still number one, nearly three times, believe it or not, the size of China. But that's not going to last, especially with what's happening lately, with what's going on with the deficit and how we're spending, and I mean, we know it's the same soap opera that we talk about on this show every single week, and that's the problem. So that's why we're going to get passed up, and it's scary to think of that, actually. Very scary. How about the Endeavor? You all know that I love the whole NASA thing, right? Oh, wouldn't I love to be there if I could. I'm hoping to get down there for a launch, but we can't go to this one. It's too soon. But the final launch of the Space Shuttle Endeavor, now scheduled for May 16th. Remember, it was delayed because of an electrical fault. So the next launch attempt is going to be at 8:56 in the morning Eastern Time. And pretty exciting stuff to talk about the shuttle and where the program's gone and, you know, what happens and the fact that you've got Mark Kelly, who's the husband of Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, commanding this on his own. Forget about the wife and the situation with Giffords. He's an incredibly decorated astronaut. And what's so crazy is his brother, also an astronaut, was on the last shuttle, commanding the last shuttle. So NASA says that they replaced that faulty switch box last week and installed and tested new wiring, the heater system is working, all that sort of stuff. And the flight is the last planned mission for the Endeavor because it's all the shuttles, as you know, are being retired. That's it. And this last one that had to be scrubbed, boy, there was a lot of people on hand for that. See, you just can't, you can't, if there's a problem, they can't send it up, for goodness sake. And, of course, the unforeseen problem. So the 29th launch was scrubbed, and now it's going to be the 16th. And, boy, let's hope that goes up on the 16th. People all along that space coast, it's exciting for them because where they are, and you're talking about morning, they can look up and see those entrails. And the feeling of knowing, you know, what's leaving the atmosphere has to be one that's pretty incredible. Has to be. Okay, let me tell you about, sadly, this. The UN is saying that they found mass graves in the Ivory Coast. Now, we know what was going on there. And so maybe it shouldn't be a surprise that there's a mass grave, but just the thought of that, 68 bodies were found in these graves that they stumbled upon, and now you got the forensic people that are trying to figure out who they are. Just they have these clusters of mass graves in along that coast. So when the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights is worried about how we proceeded with Osama bin Laden, the focus should really be on this. And they are focusing on it. They are investigating it. And here's a place where they should be investigating as to what happened here, because this has to do with the elections. And there were massacres back in the beginning of April, and it was all due to that presidential election. And they think about 1,000 people at least have died, and who knows, because now they're trying to find people, and that's part of the problem, assuming that most of them were killed. If it wasn't obvious, that's probably what happened, and now it's piecing them together, and that's got to be pretty awful for those families, I would think. How about this? Paul McCartney is engaged again. Uh-huh. And if you're a Beatles freak, remember what happened with the last marriage. It was one of a very costly divorce. I mean, who cares? Because how much money does Paul McCartney have? But it made huge headlines. But here's an interesting fact. The woman that he hooked up with pretty much right when that other marriage went down happens to be in some way related. I think a cousin of Barbara Walters. Isn't it interesting? So the woman's name is Nancy Chevelle. She's 51, McCartney's 68, and they have been seeing each other for, you know, 5 years, 4 years actually. So now she's got the rock and she gets to marry the Beatle, Paul McCartney. They seem like they're pretty happy, but who knows? Who cares? I like Paul McCartney, though. I like Beatles music. Still crank up some of the Beatles tunes. I heard today, what did I hear today? Let It Be. Still crank it up when I go old school. Got a tip cap, maybe this one works out. You never know.
Extend your life with
Hi, my name's Russ, and after my heart attack, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. I needed to keep on working, but now it's becoming a problem. I heard about these garlic cayenne drops and hoped it would help me. Well, I've been taking them for about 4 months, and the way I'm feeling now, I can see how I just might make it to retirement, thanks to Extendivite.
My name's Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822, that's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Concerned about radioactive fallout? The number one way by which your body protects itself from radiation or any other free radical is with glutathione. Glutathione is the most ubiquitous antioxidant in the body. The number one mechanism for removing toxic elements from the body is glutathione. In order for your body to make optimal levels of glutathione, it needs an abundance of the amino acid cysteine. The highest dietary source of cysteine is non-denatured whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. The most non-denatured whey protein powder on the market is One World Whey. One World Whey is an industry first with its TruCool process. It retains all the active components of fresh raw whey. One World Whey is rich in immune, bodybuilding, and detoxification factors that make it a life-giving power food for everyone. One World Whey is sweetened with cold processed stevia and comes in three delicious flavors. To hear some impressive testimonies, go to oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com. Or call 888-988-3325.
To the tail end of this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Okay, coming up, we are going to dive into a couple of different things before we close it out, including some sports shorts. There's a lot of things happening in the world of sports. One pretty sad, a death in the Giro d'Italia, the big race in Italy, kind of the setup race to the Tour de France. But before we get to that, here's Roger Madden, our friend, with the unlearned final.
When the American people elected Barack Hussein Obama to be president of the United States, they knew he was inexperienced. What they failed to realize is that he would not be learning on the job, he would be unlearning on the job, if he were lucky. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. Well, last week we got lucky. Take, for example, the recent killing of Osama bin Laden. Immediately upon taking office 2 years ago, President Obama directed that the CIA interrogation program, the very one that led to bin Laden's death, to be done away with entirely, and that interrogation be limited to the techniques set forth in the the Army Field Manual. So the techniques used to obtain information that led to bin Laden's whereabouts were not used on President Obama's watch. Moreover, it is President Obama's current policy to jail those CIA operatives whose dedicated work led to bin Laden's death. There's lots more to be unlearned by this president. The permanent closing of Gitmo, providing Miranda warnings to terrorists, believing that prosecution of terrorists is more important than interrogation. The list goes on. The United States is unique in that our Constitution provides that our president need not have any experience in foreign affairs, national security, or knowledgeable about domestic issues. President Obama has fit that bill perfectly. All of our presidents, even George Washington, in fact, especially George Washington, came to office with little experience about the presidency, and in the beginning of their term have relied on that part of their character for which the American people elect our presidents in the first place, good judgment. And it is in good judgment that President Obama is failing miserably. With a little bit more luck, we may survive these next 2 years of unlearning. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
All right, moving from politics and Roger's opinion on the unlearning of the press. The press who, by the way, his popularity ratings, no matter what the poll, have definitely taken a bounce in the upward direction since the death of Osama bin Laden and ultimately his burial at sea. A lot of people trying to figure out how those numbers will either dip or stay in the middle or maybe even go up a little bit higher as we get closer to the election. And a lot of it's going to have to do with what happens with the economy. But as I said, it's going to be a tough battle for whoever the Republican is. It's always tough anyway when you're going up against the incumbent. Certainly lots of presidents have lost their reelection bid. But if the incumbent president is riding a crest of popularity in whatever the issue is, no matter how hardcore many Republicans you have, or independents that could kind of be swayed either way, which mostly would go the Democratic way, it's pretty tough to beat those odds. Very tough. Speaking of the odds, boy, I'll tell you, heading into the basketball playoffs, we've had the Buddha Man on. And Steve Budin, I don't think, would have predicted this either. I would not have predicted that the Dallas Mavericks would knock off the two-time NBA champions, the Los Angeles Lakers, let alone sweep them. But that's exactly what happened. Humiliated them, really, in the West on Sunday. And that's the end of Phil Jackson's tenure as the coach of that team. Jason Terry from the Mavericks talked about what went into preparing for the final game that ultimately led to the sweep.
My thing was just don't give them any life. You can see as we started to penetrate their defense and hit open shooters that we were starting to take their confidence a little bit. And more they had to work to get back into it, the more difficult it was going to be for them because, again, when we're making shots like that in our arenas, building up that energy, it's tough on any opponent.
So they'll see what happens. Who are they going to meet next? Is it going to be Memphis? Is it going to be Oklahoma? Three overtimes. Kevin Durant scored 6 of 35 in the third overtime, and the Thunder in a tremendous victory over the Grizzlies, although that was played out in Memphis, 133-123 on Monday, actually into Tuesday morning because it went all the way to Tuesday morning. So the people were there probably drinking coffee, trying to stay awake. Three overtimes. Whew. Three overtimes. That series is now tied at 2 apiece. The Heat on the verge of moving on over Boston. They've got a 3-1 edge in their series. And the Bulls, man, that's an interesting one. Who knows what happens in that? If I were in that matchup, if I were making a prediction, though, it could be the Bulls that emerge. I'd say there's a good chance that they emerge from that series. And if I were picking, and I'll do it, if I were picking as to who's going to be in the finals, if you took the East and the West and you had the the Hawks did get by the Bulls pretty convincingly, though, in the last matchup. But I still think the Bulls win that series. I wouldn't be stunned if it was the Bulls and the Mavericks. I mentioned the cycling news that was so sad. There is a cyclist at the Giro d'Italia who died, actually, on the track. You know, a lot of you may tune in here and there, and certainly because of Lance Armstrong all those years, or Greg LeMond or some of the other U.S. cyclists, you might be tuned into what's going on in the cycling world. And just watching the Tour de France actually is kind of interesting. Well, it's kind of a tune-up. It is a tune-up, the Giro d'Italia, for the Tour de France. And a very popular Belgian driver, Wijnands, his name is Wouter Wijnands, was on the third stage of the Giro, and he was pronounced dead after suffering a head injury, crashed while he was descending in a mountain pass, and he was, like 25 kilometers from the finish line. He was just unconscious, 26 years old. They gave him CPR, whatever medical treatment they could. They took him to the hospital in an ambulance, but they put him on a helicopter. They couldn't find a place to land. And it's just a terrible tragedy. Died as a result of that crash going downhill almost at the finish of this, of that stage of the race. And it shows you, you see those guys riding and how tight they ride and just how tricky and how dangerous those situations can be. Matt, have you watched any? You certainly have watched the Tour de France. And you know it takes the toll on the body, and of course so many people focus on if people are blood doping and all of that. I mean, it still takes an incredible athlete to be able to do that, but it's tricky, boy. You see some pretty scary accidents in any of these races, and this was a terrible thing to happen. I think Matt is silent. He can't hear me. I've watched, like I said, and I was pretty shocked by this. I think the last time they had somebody go down was in 95, and it was in the Tour de France when that happened. So here they were in the third stage, and man, that's a shocker to the sports world, but certainly to the cycling world without a doubt. And of course, we do have hockey going on. Are there any hockey fans out there? Plenty of people listening to us in the Northeast and in Canada who might be interested to learn that the Vancouver Canucks have advanced to the West Finals. They beat the Predators, so they move on. And a lot of people were picking the Canucks, so I don't know that that's a shocker. In the meantime, the Red Wings are hanging on for dear life against the Sharks. Somehow they've been able to do it. They got a game 5, and they're putting the pressure on San Jose. They're hoping by going back to Michigan they can force that game 7. If anyone can do it, I'd be hard-pressed to go against the Detroit Red Wings.
Can you repeat the part of the stuff where you said all about the things?